Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hi everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Anne Ortley and I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side, and I just kind of decided I would open because we didn't decide who was opening it. We're running a little Mercury retrograde moment here. I am sitting at my bright red desk on a 65-degree night in beautiful New York City, and I am joined by my two illustrious colleagues, Mark.
Mark Waltz, over on the west side of Manhattan, over here with Venus and Jupiter hanging out in the sky.
Mm-hmm. And Heather?
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, on the banks of the Mississippi. On a pouring night, it has just been torrential. Lovely first major hot rainstorm of the year. We've had June weather. It's been in the 80s this week.
Wow.
In Minnesota. Last year at this time, we had snow on the ground.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's really been bizarre.
It makes you appreciate
warmth. Normally you would have snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're in, like, cold land. It's not like you're down, you know.
Normally, yeah.
It's supposed to be cold there, Heather. What the heck's going on? Global warming? Oh, there's no such thing.
Global warming. I mean, it has been very bizarre. Apparently the, you know, the bubble of cold air has wobbled towards Europe, which is why there's been so many deaths of people from cold in Europe this year. And while we've had such a warm year, but it's a little scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's no maple syrup this year.
No maple syrup? Really?
Nope, because you need cold nights and hot days to bring up the maple sap. Otherwise, it goes straight into the branches of the trees and they blossom early.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get any sap.
So wow.
Very little maple syrup this year.
Wow, so there's going to be a spike in maple syrup prices.
Mm-hmm.
All you pancake lovers, buy your syrup now. Wow, that's kind of scary. I love maple syrup. We had maple syrup in our house where I grew up. They had maple trees, and people used to come and tap them. So we had all this syrup down there in the basement. Wow, yeah. We have a busy week. We have the Aries ingress. We start spring, although it feels like summer.
Spring.
And then we have a new moon in fire to 2 degrees. We have Mercury combust the sun and Uranus combust the sun, meaning we're going to have very illuminating and unusual communications. And we're also going to really think we're right about whatever we think we're right about. And then at the end of the week, Mercury goes backwards into Pisces again. So it's been in Aries for like a couple of weeks, and now it's going to go back into Pisces for 13 days, and then it's going to station to go direct. So it's a very interesting because it's water, fire, water, fire, water, fire. So all the energy you've had the last couple of weeks, then it's going to go into Pisces, and you're going to be like, okay, I want to go back to bed. So I just think I was looking at the aspects this week and going, it's just amazing, and I'm really taking advantage of that Mercury and fire for the last couple of days while I have it. So what do you guys notice about the week?
You look at that wonderful grand trine in Earth signs with Jupiter and Venus. You know, I point out to people, if you can look on the western horizon after sunset, you can see Jupiter-Venus conjunct in Libra, trining Mars on the other side, and if you were to draw exactly a third of the way around the zodiac beneath us is Pluto. And if you look up in the sky, you can see Mars in the east, Venus and Jupiter in the west. You see what a trine looks like. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Can't see astrology normally like this. And Mars is also within 6 degrees of opposing Neptune and directly opposed Chiron right now. So that grand trine's got an arrow coming out of it. You can just feel the tension there from that. And it's kind of exciting.
I see
Mercury.
That's animating.
Yeah. Go ahead.
As you say, that's what's animating this Aries ingress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That arrow shooting out.
Aries gets the party started. Aries kind of new ideas, fresh approach. It kind of lowers our impulse control and makes it a little hard to see clearly, because we're just kind of jumping and changing. It's hard to keep our concentration up. But fresh approaches and ideas, lots of them. And if we can engage it with a little bit of willpower, that grand trine in Earth can really add momentum to whatever we start this week. So it's really important to be careful what we start. That grand trine in Earth can really begin to get moving, but it takes our effort. It's like getting a stone rolling. You know, you have to roll it yourself for a little while. You have to maintain some concentration, and then the concentration kicks in again.
Right, and with the opposition to Neptune, it's a lot about reshaping the dream, because Neptune, Chiron, and the moon in Pisces on the ingress, moon's in Pisces down there in the third house for the chart cast for Washington, saying, what's the dream? There's a new dream coming in. What's the dream? So for all of us, it's about, well, what is your dream? Where do you want to go with it? And Neptune, of course, when it shifted, it's 14 years in a sign. So when it shifts, it really kind of restructures your dream. So there's a lot of energy with Mars opposite the Neptune.
It is.
And Mark has a really good analogy of what that Mars-Neptune feels like. Mark, you want to, because he said it at the group that we do on Tuesday nights.
I forgot what I said.
About Neptune opposite Mars and the waving goodbye thing. That, you know, the greeting and the waving, the weak greeting and waving analogy. No?
I forgot.
Oh, okay.
What was it?
It was really poetic. It was very, I mean, I was like kind of going, oh, wow, that's such a great thing.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I have vacation.
It'll come back, so
you'll be inspired.
Mm-hmm. We have a question tonight about that Mercury retrograde.
Okay.
And the question is from Wendy that says, I read Mercury is never more than 28 degrees from the sun, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, Mercury is probably moving direct and retro over the sun every time he shifts gears. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In mythology, he's known as a trickster in many pantheons, so that must be why he's always messing with our heads. Yes, he is the lord of the... When he's not working for the gods, the role of Mercury is... with Lord of Thieves, and our minds can be that kind of trickster thief quality if it's not working for divine purpose.
Right.
So the Mercury goes around the sun 3 times a year.
88 days.
Every 88 days. So 3 times a year, it appears to back up in front of the sun, back up against the zodiac, and we see this Mercury retrograde cycle for 3 weeks. 3 times a year with about a week or two on either side. That's the shadow period, about a week and a half, where you can sort of feels like it's almost Mercury retrograde. I find Mercury retrograde is not so bad right in the middle of the time. It's when it's first, Mercury hates to hold still more than any other planet. When it's stationary is when I feel it the worst. Mercury is very retrograde right now. And is the cop that, by the way, left... Did you see the news article today where a cop left his radio on while he had sex in his patrol car?
No, really?
That's Mercury in Aries, yep.
Mercury retrograde, yes.
So who all listened? You know?
The whole department, apparently.
Oh, my God. Wow.
The real question was, I read that similar to Saturn, Mercury can be a friend with gaining wisdom, but sometimes in really bizarre ways, like this man knows now not to leave his radio on. I
when
know
he's having
many,
sex in his... Now, was he on a break or was he on duty, you know? Was it a lunch break?
On
or
a break. I don't know. she was wondering how Mercury would affect the degree position of our birth sun location when it goes over that place in the sky. In other words, when Mercury hits the degree of our sun. In addition to... would he create a hot spot when moving over the natal sun position, either retrograde or direct? Yeah, I find when Mercury hits a place in our chart, it gives voice to that place.
Yes.
And sometimes if it's hitting it retrograde, it gives voice to the memories stored in that place. That's my experience.
Right.
What have you noticed? Mark?
Yeah, definitely. It because Mercury is communication, and, you know, it is the voice. And so whenever it touches one of our natal planets, it's kind of like opening your throat, you know, and that planet then speaks, and meaning that energy within your psyche speaks for itself, tells, you know, what is needed to be known from there. So it does that. And, of course, if Mercury happens to station on one of your planets, for example, your sun, then there's the very, very long, clear voice that comes out. So it's a long moment of communicating. And people can hear you often, although when it's retrograde, they may not hear clearly. But they hear that you're making the sounds, but they might not get your message until a little later. Sometimes they have to sort it out when Mercury's retrograde. But they do hear that you you have an announcement you're making, but it might sound garbled to some people. When it's direct, though, you know, very, very strong. So there's that. But sometimes it can be super strong, like that's, again, Mercury conjunct Sun. Whenever Mercury is by the Sun, we say it's combust, meaning that it's next to the Sun so closely that you can't see Mercury. It doesn't operate on its own. And we say combust, meaning that Mercury is, it's like it's fried by the rays of the Sun. And so that very often in a natal chart shows up as someone who can't separate their thinking from who they are. They overly identify with their thoughts. And then it's hard for them to gain perspective. So when it's happening by transit, it's like that, but just for a day or so.
So that's going to happen this week. We're going to have Mercury combust the Sun. So you're going to notice people are really like, my opinion is right, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We tend to be a little
very
more dogmatic.
Yeah, no, I
have to say, you know, having just had Mercury go direct by progression, I had it natally direct, then it went retrograde for 21 years, and now it's just gone direct. Then I notice it from the point of view of a clarity, you know. Mercury retrogrades now feel a little differently than they did, because when I first started studying astrology, it was retrograde. And now I'm like, oh, I'm having a different experience of the Mercury retrograde. And it's good, because what it does is it always wants us to reconnect. You know, we run around so much and are so busy. And I had a group of people over for dinner on Sunday, and we were all talking about how everybody was reminiscing. You know, they're all kind of doing, like, thoughts down memory lane, the people who they used to be friendly with, some of them who have passed. And there's this whole energy of, kind of a reconnect. And, of course, the famous Mercury retrograde, you run into old boyfriends or girlfriends or people from your past. When Mercury goes retrograde, it kind of is a moment of you go, oh, yeah, I forgot about you. I was out to dinner this weekend, and a friend thought she saw her ex-husband in the restaurant, so she had this moment of panic. And it was like, nope, not him, but it sure looked like him. And, you know, you run in, and she's, of course, into astrology, so she's like, it's Mercury retrograde, that's him. And it's like, nope, it wasn't him, but it made her kind of...
But he was on your mind.
He was on her mind, yeah, he was right there. Yeah. So it's an interesting phenomena, because we don't often, you know, and especially now our culture is so busy, we get so much information in so fast, and then it flies off, you know. Mercury retrograde allows us to retreat it and to retrieve it a bit and to kind of hang on to it on a different level. So how do you see, Heather? Because you always have really good Mercury retrograde stories.
I just saw another one on the news at the moment that Starbucks has just launched a new juice line in its stores. That's a new juice bar, New Revolution Juice Bar. And they have big signs that say most fruit and vegetables are fat and cholesterol free, but they misspell vegetables.
Really?
All the signs in all the stores, the big sign in the back goes vegetables. So they have to redo all the signage.
Wow, nobody caught that?
I'm sorry. We all have. I got a new dragon speak, and I am really loving that, as in just trying to learn to train it so that it speaks what I'm writing. It's still very slow because I tend to speak fast, and it's hard for the dragon speak, which that recognizes your voice and types it for you on the computer. So and then you can edit. But as it's training me, I'm just cracking up at the misspellings. I almost sent out something about Pluto squares penis instead of Venus the other day. And watching the typos from it are very funny. These are the funny ones. There are also an unusual amount of stories in the news of people whose psyches have snapped. Like the soldier in Afghanistan who snapped and killed 10 women and children. And there are other stories of the man in the shooter in a Jewish school in Paris, in France, this week, today, shot people. There's this Mercury-Uranus conjunction. It can give us great ideas, but it can also fray the nerves and wear them out and give us horrendous ideas. And so we ask people to just notice any of their sudden, like, I've got an idea, I'll go, you know, shoot kids. I've got an idea, I'll go, whatever. To give ourselves a five-second lead on those sudden ideas and make sure that they make as much sense a few minutes later. I'm just hearing, I've spoke to a couple of therapists this weekend and asked, you know, often when the aspects get strange, I call up people in various different fields and say, so, how is this manifesting in your world? And they said that, you know, their steady patients are doing fine. And as a matter of fact, it's helping a few of them make some breakthroughs where they had felt all stuck before. But the new clients walking in they're having unusually intense psychiatric breaks. So the, you know, severe psychiatric problems in the new population is just kind of just cracking. Mm-hmm. But where that same breakthrough energy can be helpful if people have been feeling stuck for a while.
Right. Yeah, and you do find we break through on this energy. You know, it's Uranus to Mercury, aside from, you know, it is an aha moment. So if you find you're having aha moments this week, as long as they don't involve weapons and killing people, it's a really good thing. Because what you're doing is you're seeing something that the universe, when it goes retrograde, it kind of like a highlighted book. You know, when you highlight your book when you study, it takes your eye back to that section, and you go, oh, yeah, I thought that was important, right? And it allows you to find things quickly. So Mercury retrograde kind of acts like a highlighter because it goes back and forth in the heaven a few times, and it kind of illuminates that section of the sky or that section of your chart to help you really see things in a different way. So it's an interesting week. So. And the new moon, of course, starts a new two-and-a-half-year cycle in your Aries house. So at 2 degrees, so look back at that or look at that as that comes in on Thursday.
And we are very close to spring. I think spring is springing right this very minute.
At 1:15 tonight.
It's springing within the hour.
Mm-hmm. So if you're up... you know, do an egg. The eggs stand up.
Right, stand an egg on its
end.
And it'll balance.
They balance.
Yes, it's here. It'll be 1:15 or 1:16 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
That is in New York. Here it'll be 12:16 a.m.
Oh, right, because you're earlier than us. Yep.
And 11:16 a.m. if you're
in California.
Mountain. And so at this moment, it is the astrological new year. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And we celebrate, you know, we think of this as National Astrology Day, also this first new day of spring. And at that moment of spring, this is the perfect time for real New Year's resolutions. You know, we just feel guilty about it during Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
But right now with the Mercury-Uranus conjunction, we really have, if we know from our wisdom and other places in our life, what are one great change that we need to make, not a whole list of things we should do that are a good reason to feel guilty, but what's the one real change? What, I heard three questions that are wonderful to ask when we think about that. Are we in line with our purpose? If not, what would bring us closer? Are we in line with our spirit? What would bring us closer? Are we connected to our bodies? If not, what would bring us closer? Find one of those questions that really resonates with you tonight and take that step with this Mercury-Uranus conjunction. We're heading into the second of three passes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So That's a wonderful thing to do for New Year's Eve.
I like to think of the Aries ingress as like rewinding a watch. You know, there's the spring in the watch, and it's for the tropical zodiac. That's how we set the Aries point each year. Mm-hmm. So it's where the sun is in the zodiac. That becomes the zero point of Aries.
Mm.
So it's a, you know, it's that moment when you just wind the spring again, and then it runs for the whole year.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yay, a new year is here. Yeah. It's always kind of fun. I like this because I always feel like this is my opportunity for the New Year's resolutions that I didn't stick to. I'm like, okay, it's the new year. Because I always have them, and then, you know, by now you're starting to lag. It's either Lent or New Year's, but this one works. You know, this is kind of one of those, yeah, let's do it again. That was a good goal. It still is a good goal. Now just recommit. So no guilt.
And you might notice, like, there's 5 New Year's resolutions. Find one.
Right. Yeah, can't change everything at once. But with Mars and Mercury retrograde, going back to that New Year's resolution and saying, I am committing, I am.
And it's also at this point, you can look at the ones that you thought of with Capricorn and realize what was it that didn't let it work?
And right.
Now you can fix it, you know.
Yeah, let me come up with a different vision, yeah, so... And we did have a caller who had their hand raised. They actually were here when I called in, so we'll pick them up. And also, if you would like to call, although we only have 9 minutes left, our call-in number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. So here we go with 585-613. Hi, are you there? Can you hear us?
I am. I'm awake. I'm usually asleep by now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
And I'm... 214-51 Chicago, Illinois, 9:06 a.m. And I'm wondering about this grand trine in Earth in relationship either to the natal or progressed chart.
Okay. Was there a specific question that you had on how it was going to affect you, or are you just working on... General.
I'm looking
at your birthday
was
2/14/51, is that correct?
Right.
Okay, Valentine's baby, huh?
Yep.
Same as Mayor Bloomberg.
Really?
Yeah, he's born on Valentine's Day too.
Different year.
He's a lot older than you.
I have a 90-year-old friend who shares my birthday.
Oh.
Wow, that's lovely. So your question is how this grand trine in Earth is affecting your chart as a Aquarius with a Mercury in Aquarius, Moon in Gemini, and an Aries rising. Earth is an odd thing for you, and Venus and Mars and Jupiter all lined up in Pisces. How sweet.
No, I know. I don't have any personal planets and Earth signs, you know. I have an Earth midheaven and a Pluto in Leo for fire, and that's it.
Well, how is your work going? Because Pluto is coming up. It's going to reach it back up and go retrograde back and forth before it really hits your midheaven. But right now it's within 3 degrees of your midheaven, and the grand trine, therefore, is focusing on your midheaven. So tell us a bit about your work right now.
Well,
I think that's where you're going to feel this, or can feel.
Well, and that was what I was sort of, you know, I did notice, and I've been wondering about it. Wonky for years. I've been sort of, you know, I'm very grateful that I still have food on the table and a roof over my head, and, you know, I'm sort of self-employed, but mostly underemployed, and it's not been good. And, you know, I'm not going back to school.
We've got Moon in Gemini in the second house, so your money is always going to come and go and be moody. And do you work with the public with that Moon in Gemini? Your progressed Venus is coming to conjunct that Moon over the next couple of years, so that looks good for you financially. But you've got a strong grand trine with that Moon in the second house, Saturn in the sixth, and Mercury in the 10th, and that grand trine is usually really good for work when you decide what it's going to be.
Well, that's sort of been a problem, but I haven't had a regular job with benefits or a regular paycheck or a livable wage since 07.
Mm-hmm. But something we astrologers are very sympathetic to.
What I've been doing the last few half a dozen years or so is elder care privately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard work and it's not steady. And
mm-hmm.
it doesn't
that's
feel
Saturn
like
Saturn in the sixth, Moon
yeah.
in the – and have you – but you see, your chart is built to work with a team. With that lineup in Libra, in Aquarius, in the 10th house, if you started to develop teams of people that helped with the elder care, and you started, you know, organizing the people and, like, not just elder care, but how to improve their quality of life while they're in the process, if you decided to put together teams of people that would handle home care, you might do very well. And not, you know, at all different levels of elder care. Because it looks like it's about creating the team and Pluto coming up, you know, beginning to stir the waters with this grand trine. But then it backs off. So you've got a couple of years to make the transition into the next phase when Pluto actually crosses into your 10th house.
Mm.
But with Mercury in Aquarius in the 10th, your work is to communicate to a group about Saturn in Libra in the sixth, the health of elders, and dealing with the public and nurturing them, which helps your finances, with a moon in Gemini in the second, and they're all about to be affected by your progressed Venus over the next couple of years.
Mm.
Do you like doing the elder care work?
It's draining, you know, that south node over there in the sixth house.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a way, it feels like I've been there, done that before.
Mm-hmm.
So I
still think there's something about it, but it's not doing it yourself. That's the issue.
That's interesting because that's the only way I can. There's part of me that can only relate to it that way because of the gift of interacting with my favorite 90-year-old and my favorite 80-year-old.
Those
and,
are wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
But, you know, being able
to
love them and be connected with them and do that work with them, but also have them have a team of people that helps them so you're not the only one doing it, but you're helping coordinate help for them. And you're doing the one-on-one to make sure that each of these people is cared for and loved.
Yeah.
Might be something just imagine that. You know, instead of reinventing your whole new business, which you could, but what can you do to kind of stand back and grow this a bit so that you're doing the part you love and not the part you don't?
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And Anne may have a very different take on that.
What'd you say, Mark?
That really makes a lot of sense because it is a good way to balance the energy that you have. And it's very easy with the Pisces for you to feel burnt out and to be drained. Very easy to feel drained. But if you split it up among a team and you really coordinate and balance the care, then basically it doesn't get drained at all. Like that grand trine, you know, the energy gets balanced and passed around. So, you know, whether you do it in a formal company sense or whether you do it just by networking, working with a team is really going to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the chart from the point of view of feeling that it's ready for some serious changes when Saturn
mm-hmm.
stations on your descendant. You know, it's more public work, you know, where you're going to be able to be seen a little more for the work you're doing. And also with the trine to the stuff in the 11th house, finding compatible people or finding people that are also looking for, you know, something to do or work, that could really, you know, set this up as a real solid, long working thing. And with Neptune changing signs because it's angular, you should be coming up with some new work, similar to the way you did in 98 and 84 to 98 and then 1970 to 1984. Each of those years would have brought in a whole new work cycle. So the British lady has spoken. We are out of time. So this is Anne Ortley. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. Bye. This is Anne Ortley saying goodbye, and call us next week or call, send us an email like we got from Wendy. I'm here at my Bright Red Desk, and so long from Heather and Mark, you guys.
Yes.
Okay.
This is Heather and New Inn. Yep. Goodbye. See you next week.
See you all next week. Bye.